This is the Paul McGuire Report, and I'm Paul McGuire. When we look at all the dots all around us, dots that we have to connect into a meaningful picture, we move from looking at our external reality, we move from looking at it from the perspective of something that would be confusing, meaningless, abstract art, in the sense that imagine all you could see with your eyes is, instead of actual people and trees and buildings and cars, etc., all you can see is dots on a black dots on a white screen. And they don't seem to connect, the black dots don't seem to connect into a coherent, meaningful picture. So the challenge before us is to use the mind of Christ that God has given us, our God-given intelligence that God has given us, and God-given knowledge that we have to pursue to connect the dots. And when we connect the dots, we now see very clear, crystal clear pictures and gives us all kinds of information. That's what we're going to do on today's Paul McGuire Report. We're going to take these, what the media, the mainstream media, the cable news networks, the big tech companies, the entertainment companies, the late night comedians. You know, isn't it interesting? If you've done any studying at all into the history of scientific mind control and propaganda and hypnotic programming and social engineering and advertising, etc., and I deal with this in my books at length, and I connect it to your nitty-gritty and my nitty-gritty reality. When you study that stuff, and I have that stuff for you broken down, fast-moving, very powerful in my books, for example, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, my newest book, then the book right before that, Conquering the Matrix, which means dealing with conquering mind control and hypnotic programming, and then Mass Awakening, which we're seeing in our world now. That book, I talk about it in detail. The Day the Dollar Died, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 2, 2016-2017. Plus, The Babylon Code that I wrote with Troy Anderson, and Trumpocalypse that I wrote with Troy Anderson. So many people have questions regarding Trump. And it's amazing to me, if they would simply read the book we wrote, Trumpocalypse, and my co-author, Troy Anderson's a Pulitzer Prize-nominated journalist. If you simply read the book, Trumpocalypse, you will see a projection of what is happening right now. The book came out, and before the president was signed into office, we predicted, on the basis of intensive research, the various things that would happen. And many of those things, a huge number of those things, have happened, as we warned about in Trumpocalypse. And another author comes along, and I don't know why I could mention his name, I'm not going to, who is what I would call a globalist, who is, when you're with Bush and the Bush family, you're a globalist. You're not a conservative. You're a fool if you think the Bushes were conservatives. They may have been conservative globalists, but they were globalists. And Trump understands that the need to work in a global economy, but the globalists don't like Trump because Trump, as Newt Gingrich said, Trump doesn't belong to their secret societies. And that's why they don't like him. Now, if you had read the full download of books that I've written, you would understand that in one of the books that I mentioned, I quote Newt Gingrich. He wrote a book called The Third Way, and it was a mesmerizing book at the time. But The Third Way really, it means a synthesis of Marxism and capitalism into a third way. You don't use the word socialism. That won't fly in conservative circles. But he wrote that. He made that theory and that pitch based on the work of the best-selling author Alvin Toffler of Future Shock and his wife Heidi Toffler. Heidi and Alvin Toffler wrote, they were globalists, professors, but they were globalists, and they wrote The Third Way, and The Third Way employs the Hegelian dialectic. That's the physics, if you want, behind Black Lives Matter and Antifa and Occupy Wall Street and all the demonstrations, et cetera, et cetera. Behind all, you know, it's like when you look at a website, or if you've ever built a website, when you go to a website, what you will see is articles like the Drudge Report, simple website, basically. It's just a white background with black letters and columns, and the black letters are all links, and they're all hot headlines for the day. Okay. Now, if you look at the code behind that simple white website with the black lettering called the Drudge Report, it has pages and pages of complex code, which is letters and numbers that don't seem to be like gibberish, but the coding is really what's creating the picture, the links, and the headlines. And the same with any website. You go to any website or blog site or whatever. When you get there, you'll see it visually. You'll see the writing, the artwork, the colors. That's what you'll see because somebody bothered to connect the dots. The computer connected the dots for you. But behind the images that you can recognize with your senses are programming language. It's all coding. It's very simple. You've seen it. If you've printed stuff out, it accidentally prints out every once in a while. So the coding behind all socialist revolutions is they employ the occult principle, the occult and physics principle of the Hegelian dialectic developed by Hegel, the philosopher and the historian. And his basic PSYOP game plan, if you will, was what he will always do, and the revolutionaries that he's trained, what they always do is they set up the classic Hegelian dialectic, and it's really simple. You have three basic elements to the Hegelian dialectic. You have, on the left-hand side of a line, you have, the words communism, okay? And then on the right-hand side on the line, on the other side, opposite extreme, you have capitalism. And in the middle, you'll have a blending of the two, communism and capitalism, into socialism, okay? The Hegelian dialectic is always going to set up a game where you essentially have three choices. The choice that they present to you, for example, radical communism would be radical communism on the far left, hardcore capitalism on the far right. But the Hegelian dialectic is designed to set up these two opposites that are polarizing and will fight with one another. But that's done on purpose, because the purpose of the Hegelian dialectic is not to really bring in a hard capitalist society or a radical Marxist communist society. The goal of the Hegelian dialectic is to push the people towards the middle, a synthesis called not just socialism, democratic socialism, where what they say is we're going to blend the best of both worlds, but they really don't do that, do they? So the Hegelian dialectic is behind just about every social political revolution there is. It's just the coding language behind what you're seeing in reality. So when you look at the riots in the streets, you look at the demonstrators, the riots, the protesters, the anarchists, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, other radical groups. Then you have the peaceful protesters. And you always have peaceful protesters in the mix. That happened. I was a peaceful protester in the mix in the 70s when something like 45,000 of us, I put up on my social media to try to educate people. I don't know if the big tech companies took it down. I put up a video. You should look at for it on my Facebook, so I'll put it up again. And on my Instagram and different social media, you'll see like a 5.5-minute clip taken from a hotel room in Toronto. I believe it was Toronto, Canada. Either Toronto or Montreal, Canada. I can't remember which. And they're in bed. Now, don't get like weird on me. Everybody was clothed. So you had this big bed, and then you had the ex-Beatle, John Lennon, and Yoko Ono. And then you had, I think it was Phil Oakes, like a leftist country singer. And then you had Dr. Timothy Leary, the Harvard professor turned LSD prophet. And a lot of people from the counterculture are all crammed into this massive hotel suite in one of these posh Canadian hotels. Again, I can't remember whether it was Montreal or Vermont. And it got worldwide news because they sang their song, "All We Are Saying Is Give Peace a Chance." And the lyrics say it all. And you can see the actual color footage of John Lennon, Yoko Ono, lying in the bed with everybody else. And they were holding an international press conference for peace. Now, I put it up because what I wanted people to see in that short video segment, you'll see these massive counterculture demonstrations in the 70s. The March on Washington, the marches in Manhattan, and all across the country. And when you see some of those marches, and you'll look, you can tell that the color is not the same way the color is today. You're looking at old news footage. But the point is, you're going to see almost exactly, in terms of riots and demonstrators attacking police, you're going to see almost the same thing today that was happening in the 70s, except the majority of the people were white in the 70s who were confronting the police. But they were using the same tactics and methodologies to create a riot. Okay, so by baiting the police, calling them pigs, throwing stuff, and then you see all these altercations. Now, I was one of the peaceful demonstrators, but as you see those masses of people, you know, think of 15-year-old Paul McGuire in that batch. Because they're using the same tactics for revolution that they did back then, today. Now, I wanted you to see all those demonstrations, and I wanted you to see, because many young people have not seen this, it looks almost exactly like today. There's violent encounters. And the thing is that then the Democratic Party held their Democratic National Convention in Chicago, and Mayor Daley, who was known for his corruption, this is when the Democratic Party was really more conservative in many ways. Despite what they said, the Democratic Party was in many ways more conservative than the Republican Party. So the Democratic Party, under Mayor Daley, he sent out Chicago policemen and, I believe, National Guard, huge numbers. And then while they're chanting this famous chant from the time, the whole world's watching, the whole world's watching, the whole world's watching, you know, as these hippies and demonstrators are chanting that over and over again, you see video television footage of the police swinging their batons, cracking the heads of the demonstrators, hitting them with fire hoses, beating them up, arresting them. Not a whole lot of shooting back then, but there was some. And it was a massive riots and massive demonstrations around this massive event, which was the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Abbie Hoffman was there. The Chicago Eight were there. And what you saw was a trial run of what they're doing today. So today, certain things have changed, but not a whole lot. And so The whole reason, and this is what people don't understand, and it's so critical to understand. If you don't understand this, you have no knowledge. If you have no knowledge, you're impotent. You're a victim. So let me share with you what the Bible would mean by knowledge. Knowledge is not just knowing a whole lot of Bible verses, and I'm not knocking Catholics, but memorizing a bunch of Bible verses that you can recite by memory in the comfort of your church sanctuary where you're hiding. That is not biblical Christianity. That's called playing Christianity. If you cannot apply those Bible verses and those Bible teachings from Genesis to Revelation, if you can't apply it to the nitty-gritty of life, if you can't apply it to geopolitics and social activism and social justice and all the rest of it, if you cannot connect the dots into a coherent, meaningful picture, essentially you are a useless Christian. Not a fruitful Christian, a useless Christian. And what's making you a useless Christian? Are you a defective model that came off the assembly line in heaven? No, you're not, because God doesn't produce defective models of people that come off the assembly line of heaven. You have been deprived because you've chosen by habit, by culture, by custom, by using the wrong priorities, you've chosen to go to a church whose priorities are the quality of coffee in the cafe latte machine in the lobby. Now, I love good coffee, man. I'm a coffee addict, a self-admitted coffee addict, okay? But I don't choose the church I go to on whether or not it has a coffee machine. If I want coffee, I'll go to Starbucks or something, or make it at home. So the whole game plan is you always set up the Hegelian dialectic. On one side, you will have, let's say on the right-hand side, you have hard capitalism. That would be the thesis, hard capitalism, free marketplace. Then in the far left side, you have the antithesis, which is communism, Marxism. And then in the middle of the two things, the thesis and the antithesis, you have synthesis. And that is the pre-planned game plan. That is the secretly planned origination point. The globalist elite, the tacticians, the highly trained psychological operatives and organizers of demonstrations and propaganda and persuasion and social engineering, they know exactly what they're doing. So they'll always erect two opposites for the purpose of herding society into this middle category, which is pre-planned from the beginning. That's why in every world war, in recent years, in World War I and World War II, and in the Bolshevik or Communist Revolution around 1917 in Russia, in the Chinese Communist Revolution under Chairman Mao in China, in Fidel Castro's Cuban Revolution, in Nelson Mandela's African liberation, Native American, Native African liberation, call it whatever you want. It was a socialist revolution in South Africa, Cambodia, where there was like a million skulls of human beings found. And you know what the total death toll was in all those communist revolution nations? And that would include Adolf Hitler's National Socialist Party, the Nazis. Since communists lie, it's part of their formula is to lie. They say by any means necessary, and they mean it. So they lie about the amount of people killed and slaughtered and tortured in communist revolutions, because the real ugly, nasty, dirty total is about 240 million people, beginning about 150 years ago, were either murdered, shot, killed, raped, tortured, sent to re-education camps, sent to concentration camps, were starved to death. 240 million people, their lives were like just totally destroyed in the most sadistic, horrible ways you can imagine. Now that number is covered up because it doesn't, the globalist elite praise that. Read my book. This book is so up to date, it's ridiculous. My new book is The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. I wish we had somebody who could endow the printing, the promotion, and distribution of that book so that it would be targeted specifically for church Bible studies for both women, teenagers, adults, young men, most of all pastors, Christian leaders, people in seminary. I wish we could endow a film of that, or a video of that, excuse me, and distribution of copies on a mass level. Because the book will train you on how to make disciples of all nations. It will train you how to connect biblical truth with the reality all around us. And after all, if we cannot connect biblical truth with the reality all around us, we have not made disciples of all nations, have we? So you've got to understand these basics. So in the book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, I go into depths on radical socialism and communism and Marxism. And I expose it for what it is. And when I expose it, I do it with impeccable documentation. Because you see, at the very heart of Marxist communist revolutions, and remember the spiritual, if you see, this is what should be talked about in Bible studies. You say, oh, just the word, I want the word. You know, that sounds great, but you know, if your car breaks down because you've got a transmission problem, you're going to need to know more than just the word, just the word. You're going to either need to know how to get your hands on a trained mechanic, or you're going to have to be a trained mechanic. There are truths and disciplines all over in life that can't be just stuck in the, well, all I want to do is preach the Bible and teach the Bible. That sounds cute, but it doesn't fly. If you can't connect the Bible to the complexities of life, you're useless. So we have to educate and train, and more important, give knowledge, which is power, to people as fast as we can right now. Because right now, who would have ever thought, who among you or me would have ever thought that America would have turned such a dark turn in the last number of years? And now we're seeing the most dictatorial George Orwell Big Brother media. It's a propaganda, it's a screaming psychotic propaganda machine. Who would have thought we would have seen that? Who would have thought we would see violence in the streets at the level we're seeing? Who would have seen, we would thought we'd see the cops killing African Americans the way we've seen, in the most egregious ways? But then again, who would have thought we would ever see the violent anarchy, the robbing of stores? Yes, there are legitimate protesters. But you know, I have a word of warning for legitimate protesters. If you study, which I have, and I write about it in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, if you study the history of the communist Marxist revolutions, these communist leaders, they came up with derogatory names for the idealistic, let's say, American college student, American radicals, and American intellectuals who follow these Marxist communist revolutions. The communist leaders called these people, especially the American intellectuals and idealists, they were called the useful idiots. In other words, the true communist leaders looked upon students and intellectuals in America, etc., as dummies because they could be manipulated. They were the useful idiots, according to the communist leaders, that the communist leaders would use to bring in a Marxist revolution in a Western nation. But after they were finished, The Marxist communist leaders had every intention of slaughtering the useful idiots that supported them, or send the useful idiots into concentration camps and re-education camps. You say you don't believe it. You don't believe it because you're ignorant and uneducated. Look what happened in all the communist revolutions, like the one in Russia, like the one in Cuba, like the one in China. The intellectual class, the youth class, the idealists who always supported the communist revolutions were indeed the useful idiots, because after the communist revolution overthrew the existing government, these idealists and student radicals and professors and demonstrators, many of them were shot, killed, sent to concentration camps, re-education camps, slave labor. It did not go well for them. And that's why the powerful communist leaders called them the useful idiots. So this gets into this Hegelian dialectic. You set up an artificial game plan. And in this artificial game plan, you create deliberately, for the purpose of psychological manipulation, two opposites. So again, on the far right-hand side, we'll have hardcore capitalism as one opposite. On the far left-hand side of the equation, we'll have militant Marxism and communism. But you see, in the globalist dialectic, the sophisticated Marxists, at least initially, don't want society to move necessarily to radical Marxism. They want them to be into that middle group, the synthesis group, where you synthesize the antithesis and the thesis, the communism and the capitalism, to bring about this illusory society, because it never works out that way, democratic socialism. That's why when they have all these town hall meetings, they use the Hegelian dialectic. When you, as a Christian parent or a conservative, are in a school meeting, a public school meeting, they're using in the group, whether you realize it or not, the Hegelian dialectic. They will have in all these public forums, community forums with the mayor or with the school board or whatever, they will have social change agents embedded in the group. And some of them will be pushing everybody over to super capitalism, and some will be pushing them over to like Marxist communist solutions. But the real agenda is to move the people, including the parents, from opposite ends of the political spectrum, to move them into that squishy middle, which is the synthesis, democratic socialism, which is a fairy tale because it never really happens. Okay, but deeper than that, that's one principle they use. The other principle is an occult principle. Remember that communism, Marxism, socialism, atheism, humanism are all Antichrist ideologies with a small a on Antichrist. They come from the spirit of Antichrist. Why? Because in all of the tenets, theology, political ideology, plans, and belief systems of communism, Marxism, socialism, radical secular humanism, etc., they all are dedicated to the total destruction of a Judeo-Christian nation and a Judeo-Christian society. You see, their game plan is the total destruction of anything that has to do with the biblical God, the Old Testament, the New Testament, Jesus Christ, or all biblical truth must be destroyed. And so, according to the agenda of the Frankfurt School, which I explain to you easily, when you read my chapters in the Frankfurt School, it's going to be like going on a roller coaster ride. It's not going to be boring. It's not going to be academic. You're in for the ride of your life. And you better make sure you have your safety belt on, because this truth is going to take you on a ride. So here's the deal. This organized movement really began to take off in 1920 with the Frankfurt School Marxists, who formerly were Marxist communist trained revolutionaries / college professors, working for the Russian secret police. Then they moved from Moscow, to Frankfurt, Germany, where they set up the Frankfurt School. And the goal of the Frankfurt School was to use intellectuals, authors, college professors to indoctrinate students into a cultural Marxist revolution so they could make it workable in nations like the United States and other Western nations. So the Frankfurt School was the same old communist revolution, but they did it through things like political correct language, you know, creating mind control worlds like diversity and tolerance and social justice and all that. Mind control words. And then if you look at the goals, which I quote and spell out from documented sources, the Frankfurt School, beginning in the 1920s, their number one goal, according to their own publications, is to destroy the religion of Christianity, completely destroy it. Number two, completely destroy Christian marriage. Number three, completely destroy Christian morals, moral values, and absolutes. Number four, completely destroy any sense of right and wrong. And number five, completely destroy nationalism and patriotism. That has happened because huge numbers of the Frankfurt School Marxists fleeing Hitler came into the United States, and mysteriously they were given the highest level tenured jobs as professors of the most prestigious universities and colleges in the United States of America, and with prestigious think tanks. Frankfurt School intellectuals were everywhere, and they ran the show. When I attended the University of Missouri in Columbia, Missouri, and before that, being a radical myself, I read probably 25 books written by Frankfurt School revolutionary professors because they were like best-selling authors. They were like rock stars in their world. But every one of the books was to push you into despising a Judeo-Christian culture and embracing a humanistic, top-down, communist, totalitarian regime type thing. And that's where we've been headed. So when you see these riots in the streets, this is all part of the communist game plan. And remember, the communists are like the suckers. Their employers and financiers are the globalist elite, because the globalist elite always finance these revolutions because they believe in divide and conquer. But you got to know that. You have to have knowledge. And I strongly urge you to get a set of my volumes. They're fast reads. Have the Bible studies, do them. Give a Bible study. Help us get this information out. Okay? It's critical. You know, I write the title of the book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. When that book came out in November of this year, coronavirus, the riots, and protests had not begun. And I knew there was an urgency of what was happening. Little did I know that 2 months later, all hell would explode in the United States on an unprecedented level. And now we are in full swing, the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. But the battle is a battle of the mind. It's a battle of ideas. Because the churches have failed before God to preach faithfully a biblical worldview, we have young people who have no concept of a biblical worldview, no concept of what's right or wrong. They're not inherently bad people because they smash down banks and steal the ATMs and burn and loot and all that stuff. Well, I'm not excusing the behavior, don't get me wrong. But they were programmed. They were literally programmed, just like you would program a computer, to think like that and act like that by the educational system and the mainstream media, movies, TV. You want to know how the demonstrators were primed? Just watch all the movies and TV shows in the last 5 years, and you'll see positive example after positive example of this kind of behavior, of riots and revolution and stuff. This is what we're fighting. And God has given us this moment in time to win victory in the peaceful, loving, spiritual battle. So we either win now while God gives us one last opportunity, or we can behave like all the modern evangelical Christians today who don't base their theology from Jesus or Paul, who taught faith, but most modern evangelical Christian leaders today, including pastors and churches and seminaries, they base their theology on the spies that God assigned to go into the land of Canaan. And they came back and gave an evil report because they had no faith. They had no belief in God. And they believed erroneously that they could, that it was impossible for them to defeat the giants and that the giants would slaughter them. So they came back to the Lord. And on the basis of their unbelieving perception, they gave the Lord what was called an evil report. On the other hand, Joshua and Caleb were assigned by God to do the same thing. Joshua and Caleb, the mighty men of God, went into the land of Canaan. They saw the giants saw them, except because Joshua and Caleb chose to have a faith-based perception based on the word of God. Joshua and Caleb saw the giants as grasshoppers in their sight. And in a weird way, the giants looked upon Joshua and Caleb and saw them as giants and that they were going to be destroyed. So Joshua and Caleb came back to the Lord and gave to the Lord, based on their faith-based perception, what was called a good report. And they said to the Lord, "We are well able to conquer the land of Canaan, for the giants are like grasshoppers in our sight. And the giants see themselves as grasshoppers, and they see us as giants." And it was on that basis, the basis of perception of reality, that they won. Not New Age perception of reality, not magic, biblical principles that employ faith in God's word turn any spiritual battle, including the spiritual battle you may be in your life right now, or in the United States, or any nation on planet Earth. If you approach your life, your situation, your challenges, your warfare, if you choose to approach that as a kind of promised land that God has called you to possess, if you go into your spiritual battle with faith in God and you see your problems as little tiny creatures and you see yourself as a giant, you're going to overcome. You're going to be able to tell the Lord and yourself that we are well able to take the land. Your perception, it's not magic, that's different. Your perception comes from a renewed mind. A renewed mind comes from meditating on the Word of God and praying. That gives you God's perception. That gives you the Joshua Caleb perception when you see your enemies like grasshoppers, and these enemies that see themselves as grasshoppers see you as a giant. Well, you can imagine the battle is over. By the way, that is the core truth of the modern military science of what's called PSYOPs, or psychological operations. I want to explain to you the secret behind PSYOPs, or psychological operations, and how you can, with a biblical knowledge, turn around any battle and be victorious in any battle by employing the truth and power of God's word and understanding how to use it against PSYOPs. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. When you go to the website, we have great bundle discounts on volumes of different books that I've written that I've mentioned to you in the last couple of minutes. You need to get at least four at a time. And roll up your sleeves and teach people and teach yourself, because we need to turn this nation around. Also, I need your help in sending links of these programs. the video programs, the audio programs, to do an end run around the big tech sensors, I need you to join, for example, our YouTube page. Subscribe to the YouTube page. Subscribe, or everything is free, by the way. Join, subscribe, follow. Make sure you do that part electronically. It's not just nothing. The more verified numbers that we can produce on every one of our social media regarding watches and views and likes and everything else, the more people who will do that, even though they are playing dirty with us, and they're playing dirty with most of the people who have a conservative or Christian viewpoint, your willingness to follow, enroll, watch, subscribe, gives us the binary power to maneuver and open doors on the internet. Now, I'm not crying over spilled milk. This is the truth. I noticed this in 2016, with the election thing. I noticed that all the conservatives in the internet world, all the Christians, all the prophecy people, I noticed that their numbers were being slashed like crazy. That their counts were reduced sometimes by 80%. And then, well, it was easy to figure out why. It was stealing the advertising dollars that could be made for any Christian or prophecy site or conservative site. It was a war to destroy them. We don't advertise, but anybody who uses the internet, you're affected by these invisible bots and the rigging that's going on. They don't want conservative, Christian, Bible prophecy voices out there. So they deliberately cheat and distort and deliberately reduce the numbers of people. So I look up 15, 25 names that you would know, people you may very well listen to or watch. And I see that their number counts went down like crazy. And I know that they're having more people follow them than ever before. See, there's a war here. And in PSYOPs, you want to break the spirit of your opponent so he picks up his toys and goes home. We're going to be back in just a moment. By the way, this is a war, a spiritual war, a law-abiding, peaceful, spiritual war. In order for us to win this war, it has to be financed like any other war. You know, the Illuminati and the occult secret societies and the political secret societies, they understand that it takes money to fight a war. And they're willing to spend that money because they want to rule and conquer the world for Lucifer. It's just that simple. God expects his people to finance his spiritual battles. And God will reward and bless those people who are obedient to that call. So it's important that you show up at the plate, and however God has blessed you, that you are quick to sow into ministries that actually produce results, actually affect change, actually win souls versus just talking about winning souls, actually make disciples of all nations rather than just in, you know, fantasizing about it. Go to paulmcguire.us, join all our social media. Sign up, follow, like. It's important that you do that. These other groups pay computers to do that. Pay computers of people that don't exist to follow, like, watch, and give them their numbers. But they're not real people. They're phantoms. They're computer bots that generate these fake numbers. But no, most people don't know that, so it gives them the illusion of power. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And in a moment, we'll be right back, and I will share with you a spiritual and simple practical weapon you can use to release an ultimate game changer in our reality, because that's what we need. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. Send links of this far and wide. This is the open secret, the big secret and the open secret. And we say, well, where is Jesus in all this? Is God going to judge America? Is God going to punish America? I don't see many famous prophecy writers would write in their best-selling books, you know, They didn't see America named in Bible prophecy, and they came to the conclusion that maybe God allowed America to be wiped out, and that's why America's name was not written in Bible prophecy. These men were among the most famous and prolific Bible prophecy, Christian Bible prophecy writers of all time. I've had the privilege on my various radio shows to interview and get to know many of these individuals on a one-to-one level. Many who went home to be with the Lord in just the last 7 years. People like Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, and Tim LaHaye, Beverly LaHaye, Dr. Ken Beshore, Dr. D. James Kennedy. I could go on and on. And these men were great teachers of the Word, God's prophetic Word. Grant Jeffrey and Hal Lindsey, who's still alive, thank God. And we had some very intense conversations. I respected these men of God. And I had people with different theological perspectives. Now, here's the key thing, though. This is the key thing, and this is so vital. What we have now is the perfect storm, because this, you know, it was about 8 or 9 years ago, the Lord specifically, I felt, was speaking to my spirit and telling me. Sometimes the Lord speaks to me and tells me to be counterintuitive. That can be very dangerous and dicey, because sometimes when you think you're hearing from the Lord, because we're all imperfect, you can miss the Lord, and you're getting your own imagination making things up. And there's so much confusion about this in the Bible, and people just need to be honest and humble. That's why I don't call myself a prophet. I have prophetic gifts. God uses me as a prophet, but I don't call myself a prophet. I would never say, this is Prophet Paul McGuire. Somebody else can say it. I'm not going to make a big deal about it, but you'll never see me published or write that anywhere. The reason is the biblical test for a prophet in the Old Testament among the Jewish people is a prophet had to be 100% accurate. If he was even accurate, if he missed it even once, according to Jewish Old Testament law, that prophet, that so-called prophet, had to be stoned to death as a false prophet. So the demand to be a legitimate prophet of God in the Old Testament was 100% accuracy, or you were stoned to death. Now, in today, the New Testament, I believe there's many men and women with prophetic gifts that God uses prophetically. However, it's just simply a point of disagreement. I would not personally put them in the category of a prophet any more than I put myself in the category of a prophet, because none of them are 100% accurate. Now, I'm not going to name names. That would be ridiculous. And in their ministry and in their prophecies, they've made mistakes. Doesn't mean they aren't men of God. They just made mistakes. They failed to distinguish between the Lord speaking to us through our inspired imagination, and we get it wrong sometimes, or an actual word from the Lord where it's like God prophetically speaking to us. So humility is required there. Now, having said that, we are in this colossal battle right now for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. This battle began to really accelerate just before the communist revolution erupted in Russia, which was also known as the Bolshevik Revolution. What a lot of people don't understand, this is why knowledge is power. What a lot of people don't understand is that there existed a globalist elite largely consisting of the international banking families. Many of these were what they call bloodline families. They tried to strictly marry in to their own DNA, and they would in many cases prefer to have cousins be married than to go outside their bloodline. They believed that their bloodline was godlike. Now, The key thing to understand here is behind socialism and communism, there's a huge mistake, and it's really tragic that so many minority groups and white groups have been sucker punched. The age-long lie of communism, socialism, and Marxism is that it's going to create a workers' paradise on Earth, a utopia on Earth. It will give perfect social justice. Everybody will be paid a fair wage. Everybody will have great health care. Everybody will have a great job. And all the wealth will be redistributed equally, including the power and the positions in society. It's going to be a workers' paradise. That's what Karl Marx and the other communists always say. Yet it never, ever, ever, not once has gone that way. Communism and Marxism, just like Satan in paradise, communism and Marxists know how to seduce mankind with lies and temptation. And because people don't know their history books, they don't know what happened historically with every single Marxist communist revolution, with absolutely no exceptions, none of them ever even remotely delivered on their promises. Every communist revolution that ever occurred, starting with the French Revolution, shortly after the American Revolution, and the French Revolution was the spiritual mother of communist Marxist revolutions. Let's just start there. That occurred shortly after the American Revolution. And in the French Revolution, they didn't use the biblical ideas to birth the French Revolution like we did in America. They borrowed after all these humanistic philosophers like Rousseau and so many others who were first ignited by the Enlightenment. And the philosophy of the Enlightenment had some good things. It was a reignition of creativity and invention and science, which was good. On the bad side, the Enlightenment had a kind of a secretive but very deep hostility towards all things Christian, including Christian morality. So the Enlightenment produced the philosophers. Ideas have consequences. The writers. Writers shape history, not politicians. The writers were the philosophers, and they mapped out a French Revolution, which would be the birth of a new illumined, yes, the Illuminati was behind the financing, of a new world order based on humanism and socialism, and by getting rid of Christianity. And it failed miserably. I walked the streets of Paris doing research. I was speaking at a church in Paris, France, with 24,000 members. That's a lot, even for the United States. And when I got on the platform, it was like being in a sports stadium. In any case, when I wasn't speaking or ministering at the church in Paris, a French guy took me around who knew a lot about history. And I was only interested in seeing the historical monuments in Paris. And I saw the end game for the world's first communist socialist revolution, which was simply the French Revolution. And it started off, you know, with lots of idealists, kind of like the people who just go to these demonstrations because they just truly want to protest. Those are the idealists. Started off with idealists. Then it was taken over by radicals. Sounds like today, huh? And then the radicals went so crazy that they began to smash into churches and have sexual orgies in the churches, setting the churches on fire, the streets on fire. A woman would ride topless and horseback through the streets of Paris, and she was proclaimed the goddess of reason, because the intellectual belief behind the French Revolution was that man's logic, science, and reason would make man a god. So they had the goddess of reason. But as the, because they rejected Christian values, the French Revolution turned into a bloodbath. Robespierre, the terrorist, lined up huge numbers of guillotines. And I stood on the spot where the guillotines were in Paris. And he would behead all day, all night, thousands and thousands of people who he considered to be enemies of the revolution, even though they started out being supporters of the revolution. So he had a purge. And what was weird was that there was a monument to where the, in Paris, to where the guillotines were. And as you looked straight along the line of guillotines, and you looked straight along that line, there was a large monument and sculpture of an Illuminati pyramid and an all-seeing eye. And the Illuminati pyramid and all-seeing eye was placed in such a position that it looked all the way down the row of guillotines, as if these guillotines and deaths were some kind of blood sacrifice. And so what was found out later is there was a lot of huge hostility towards some of these revolutionaries, towards Christians. It was the sparks of the Illuminati-financed French Revolution. Because remember, the Illuminati were officially formed in 1776. It was only a few years after that that the Illuminati financed the French Revolution. Then, the Illuminati finances Karl Marx to write the Communist Manifesto, and the Illuminati and the globalist elite finance Communist Revolution in Russia. And it wasn't the people coming together naturally. The people didn't raise their own money. The people of Russia, the peasants and the workers and the middle class, they didn't even want the stupid Communist Revolution. It was forced upon them. Does it sound familiar? The international bankers, the Wall Street boys and everything, they financed communist revolutionaries. They couldn't find any from the people, so they had to buy prisoners recently out of prison, criminals, just like you hear about today, to fight this communist revolution, which would eventually conquer Russia. But it was a revolution of a very tiny percentage. Maybe 2% of the Russians were really communists. The rest were hired gangsters to carry about the communist revolution. And you see the same principle repeated over and over again in the streets of America today and in other communist revolutions. Because communism spreads on seduction, and they look at the idealistic man or woman as the useful idiot who does not understand where communism is going to bring them. Chairman Mao, the head of the Communist Party and bloody revolutionary in China, said these Americans, et cetera, have no clue where communism is taking them. They understood the brutality of the whole thing. So we're fighting for our nation right now. And if we lose our nation now, it's not because of some massive, huge blunder. If we lose our nation now, it's going to be because we've made a whole list of simple, like practically subtle blunders. We don't realize how fragile our system is right now. We are looking at decade after decade after decade of people that were indoctrinated and programmed to be socialists in the school systems. Now they're the governors and the mayors and the chief of police all across the nation. The students, generation after generation, have been programmed to be socialist and Marxist. So they're all predisposed to hate America and want to see a global government under a socialist regime. In other words, the Trojan horse that came to America a long time ago and brought in the enemy was the Frankfurt School that embedded Marxist professors in all of our major schools and indoctrinated several generations of young people, many who are now adults and politicians, into being good little socialists and communists. That's what we're fighting. But conversely, we're fighting it on a different front also, and that is this Frankfurt School teaching, this Frankfurt School Christian theology has watered down biblical teaching and Biblical Christians are not as on fire for their beliefs as these communists and Marxists are for their beliefs. That's the problem. But that problem can be fixed. That problem can be fixed. And in a second, I will share with you how that problem, and it's an easy fix. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Join us in this spiritual war and a law-abiding, peaceful war that involves preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to thank every one of you who have chosen to be prayer warriors for me, my family, and this ministry. I was remarking to somebody yesterday, it was like 5 days in a row, I felt this, what I only can describe as a supernatural uplifting. And I realized that that there were large numbers of people praying for me because I had become weary in a number of areas. And it was like the Lord was lifting me up. But I knew that the Lord was lifting me up because there were people like you praying for me. So I want to thank you for that. And then I noticed a bunch of emails and communications came through of people who said stuff like this. A friend sent one of your links to me. A friend sent me to, you know, your Facebook. Or a friend told me to watch this video link from you. And now, you know, I'm an avid fan. My wife and I are avid fans. We listen every day. That happens all the time. But what's really exciting is they'll also add, we were backslidden and walking away from the Lord, and then a friend introduced us to your messages, and now we've returned to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're serving him again. Or people who were not born again, but because a friend sent a link and introduced them to this ministry, they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's how you win the spiritual battle. We'll be back in just a second. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Make sure you send the links of this program far and wide. Let people know about all the social media that they can watch us on, like the Roku channel. You can get hundreds of hours of my Bible preaching on Bible prophecy and current events, powerful messages. Hundreds of hours. They were recorded live when I ministered when I continue to minister at Paradise Mountain Church. They're free on our Roku channel. Hundreds and hundreds of hours you could be ministered to free on the Roku channel. All you got to do is go to paulmcguire.us to hook up to the Roku channel or to have somebody show you. Our channel is called Paul McGuire Ministries. But that's a huge way of getting yourself edified and up to speed. Then we have so many blog sites and podcasting and YouTube and Brighteon.com and Vimeo and all kinds of stuff. I just launched Instagram page. Right now it's called New Media Voice, just New Media Voice. And I'm just playing with it. So if you want to get in on it in the playpen stage, which is my favorite stage, that simply means that I've just started a social media. So I haven't started to take it all that seriously. So I let my guard drop. I adhere to a moral standard. I don't let that drop. But I mean, I just learn how to use the social media. So we just recently came on Instagram and a bunch of other stuff. This is where you reach people. Okay, knowledge is power. So what do we need to know? What do you need to know personally for your family, loved ones, for your children, grandchildren, whatever nation you live in, whatever state you live in? There are things that you need to know because everything is changing very, very quickly. First thing you need to know is when you're seeking for information that you know how to find content, information, communication that is accurate, that's factual, and that's truthful. Tragically, many people do not have the discernment to recognize what's truthful and recognize what's propaganda or like mind control. They're following up. The amount of people who claim to have, I'm just going to say it. The amount of people who claim to have prophecies, especially regarding the president, the future of America, and what's happening, people who claim to have prophecies, people who claim to have been back and forth to heaven, I mean, all these supernatural claims. And yet so many of them are saying the opposite thing. So let me ask you a question, Chief. All these people who have these claims of supernatural experiences with God going up into heaven, God giving him a prophecy, God giving him this vision, that vision, God supernaturally saying this is what's going to happen, that's when it's going to happen. Okay, we hear about all these Christian spokespeople saying that, right? But so many of them are saying the exact opposite of what the others are saying, which means they all can't be right, okay? Somebody's got to be wrong, okay? So who is it? The track record. And then what it does is it lulls the people of God to sleep. They're following a Pied Piper. Just because he plays a nice flute tone or a tone on his pipe, he seduces everybody into following the Pied Piper to their destruction. You have people out there, that's their role. I was talking about PSYOPs. PSYOPs simply means psychological operations. And one of the highest level authorities in the world on PSYOPs is a man with a very controversial, say the least, biography, if the controversy is true. I have no idea of knowing the real thing of his life. But I will say this. The man was one of the military's highest-ranking Satanist officers at the very, very top of two intelligence agencies. He was also the second-in-command to Anton LaVey's Church of Satan. And he had read my book, or come across my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America. Or in the book, I talked about his book, which was called PSYOPs. And he would not call himself a Satanist today, but I would say he's a disciple of a Luciferian religion. Okay, so the man was a genius. The man was brilliant. Obviously, he had a dark side. But he understood the military battle, and you could also say the spiritual battle of PSYOPs, psychological operations, better than anybody I'd ever read about. And I've done quite a study on that before. And he understood it like most Christian leaders don't understand it. And what he understood is that, and he wrote about this in his book on PSYOPs, Colonel Michael Aquino is his name. And I'll warn you right up front, I would be very careful about what you're looking up for, about him. It's not that I'm trying to hide you anything from him. You're just going to get into some pretty dark areas, and you better be prepared for it, okay? I in no way advocate anything that is against biblical principles, and you know that. So the thing is, though, that in psychological operations, he wrote in his book that the major purpose of psychological operations is to absolutely convince your enemy that there's no possible way that they can win in a fight against you, and that if they dared to fight against you, they would be destroyed, massacred, and it would be hell on earth. So in psychological operations, the goal of PSYOPs is to get into the head of your enemy or the heads of your enemies and convince them that it's in their total best interest to surrender without a fight, or the consequences will be horrific. And the reason PSYOPs is more effective and preferable to conventional warfare is that you can win a war and a battle based on images, symbols, communications, and ideas that you communicate. And that's what PSYOPs is. And right now, we see PSYOPs employed by a whole spectrum of different groups in our cities, PSYOPs held against the church and Christians, PSYOPs promoting this idea versus that idea. It's all about getting inside the heads of people. So to win the spiritual warfare in a nonviolent, peaceful way, we have to be able to get inside the heads of the people we want to reach, because not for the purpose of an evil motive or for a manipulative motive, we want to get inside their heads so we can really understand them, really understand what ticks, and therefore it makes our communication effective. And that's what it's all about. So the bottom line is this. If the primary principle of PSYOPs is to absolutely convince your enemy that it's totally hopeless for them to resist you or fight against you because it's inevitable they're going to lose, then if you can do that PSYOPs, right, then your potential enemy will surrender without a bullet being fired. It's the best of all strategies for you. But you know, the devil and the church succumbs to PSYOPs that generates from people inside the church who are really not for the church, and PSYOPs that's being waged, I believe, by principalities and powers, like the devil, against the church and Christians. And when it goes in that vein, is that you try to convince Christians that there's no hope in resisting or fighting back spiritually, but just hiding somewhere, and then the devil will leave you alone and everything will be okay. That's the kind of PSYOPs you hear. Or there's no hope for America. This battle can't be won, which is a complete lie. You see, PSYOPs will always use lies in an attempt to conquer the truth. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Pass the website, the videos out there, and let's stir things up. Let's get truth out there by going to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in just a second. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Okay, here's the basic game plan. The science of scientific mind control, mass awakenings, programming people like you program computers, the manipulation of the human mind, et cetera, hypnotic states, MK Ultra. I mean, just turn on your television guide or episodic TV guide or movie guide. There are literally hundreds. There are hundreds of episodic TV series, TV specials, regular TV series, movies, documentary films, and other and books and entertainment shows of all kinds, you know, like History Channel stuff to everything else. And they deal with scientific mind control, CIA, MK Ultra mind control, Operation Paperclip, you know, the Nazi mind control scientists. They deal with hypnosis, and LSD is a mind control agent. And that's just the starting point. Okay, so when I used to write about this stuff 8 or 9 years ago, it was like trying to conquer the Himalayan mountains. It was like crazy. But now there has been such an inundation on the mass consciousness of the realities of mind control and the military and programming people that this is like many generations, they don't reject this. I'm just thinking of, it was either the Netflix thing or the Amazon thing, and there's a new series out that just came out a month ago, or actually it came out before that. I really don't want to see it, but it looks darkly interesting. Guy comes back from the military, and where he's staying is secretly an MK Ultra reconditioning lab. But this is not an unusual program. I mean, even Homeland made constant references to MK Ultra programming, the Bourne Identity, MK Ultra programming. You go on and on and on. movies that deal with that. Captain America, MKUltra programming all over the place, and the Nazi scientists. But you have to, the writer wrote it, the Captain America film Identity. He understood this. It's amazing how deep the guys at, and I guess girls at Marvel Comics, understood everything from Satanism and Jet Propulsion Lab and Wernher von Braun and NASA and Nazi rocket scientists and the whole thing. They knew, they really know this stuff, because that's where knowledge is power. Okay, so what do we do, given the fact that we're in the greatest spiritual battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world? What do you do personally with all the curveballs being sent to you and disinformation, etc.? Okay, let's play it out really simply. It says in the book of Revelation that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, that's me and you, day and night. That means he accuses us of all our sins, or even imagined sins or real sins, and he goes before God in the throne room and accuses God of all these sins, and probably many of them we've done. And then says, essentially, they're not worthy for you to answer their prayer. They did this, this, and this. You shouldn't answer their prayer or do this or that for them. But it says in Revelation 12:12 that they, that means all the brothers and sisters in Christ, that Satan, the accuser of the brethren, was accusing them of, that they, the Christians, overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So by giving their testimony that all their sins have been forgiven by Jesus Christ when they received Christ and were born again, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses them of all sin, they can destroy instantly the accusations of Satan, because those real or imagined, those sins are gone. They're under the blood of Jesus. That's how they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Where their testimony is, Jesus died for my sins. I put my faith in Christ, and I'm going to heaven. That's how you defeat the devil. It's by implementing spiritual truth against spiritual lies and darkness. Now, if we know from a human military standpoint that one of the most powerful military weapons is called psyops, or psychological warfare, that battles, wars, everything else can be won or lost by the battlefield of psyops or psychological operations. In other words, what people are programmed to believe, taught to believe, or choose to believe will ultimately cause them to rise and fall. So right now, at this critical moment, it is imperative that you and I just don't soak in what the mainstream media, what other Christians are telling us, what the news media is telling us, entertainment industry is telling us. We just don't soak all that in. Now we need to soak into us. We need to renew our minds with the Word of God. We need to listen to voices on the internet or anywhere else, video or anywhere else, which connect the dots with biblical truth. We need to renew our minds with the Word of God. We need to pray to the Lord for discernment from the Holy Spirit. And then when we do that, we'll be led by the discernment of God and the peace of God. And then we will be able to be victorious in the spiritual battle, because the evil one wants to erect a deceptive belief inside every one of us, which is, it's hopeless, it's over, you're defeated, it's better for you to surrender. That is psyops. That is designed to destroy you. You need to reject that and resist that as something that Satan would put into your heart. You need to believe and declare what God promises in his word declare. And that's how we overcome him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. This can be done. You can help us by going to the Lord and saying, God, I want to obey you, Lord, your call, and be an intercessory prayer warrior for Paul McGuire, his family, the ministry, and the outreach. And then, like all the other people praying, just habitually prayer, pray. You will discover as you pray for others on a faithful basis, your own faith for your needs and the answers to your prayers will increase. Number two, be willing to send out the links far and wide of all the stuff that we produce to get around the bot censorship. Number three, to simply go before the Lord and say, God, you are my source of finances and everything, capital S. I commit all my finances, my blessings, I commit them all to you, God. And I ask you to be Lord of everything that I have. And God, I ask you, Lord, how much do you want me to give or contribute to Paul McGuire Ministries in Paradise Mountain Church? And then wait on the Lord or listen to the Lord. And if the Lord doesn't answer you, then he'll answer you. If you keep seeking him, he will show you very clearly what to give, how much to give, how often to give. The key is that whatever he tells you, even not to give, you obey the Lord. Not yourself, not your fear of lack, you obey the Lord. And because a spiritual war has to be financed, and it's mainly a spiritual psychological war. And we can turn this around, we really can, but God is calling on you and me. Don't ask me why. He's probably calling on a lot of people, but you and I think we're not better than they are, but maybe we're listening. I don't know. Anyway, ask the Lord what you can give. And we are thankful to everybody who gives to this ministry, whether it's giving through prayer, giving through service, giving through making donations and contributions. We thank God for all of you. And may the blessing of God be upon every single person who listens to this program and every single person that shares it and partners with us in any way. Lord, we ask the blessing of God would come down upon each person and that you would drive fear, anxiety, uncertainty from their hearts, Father. You are Lord God, and you're not going to desert them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.